Apology is a song written by Mickey Newberry back in the late 1960s, and I remember the first time I saw Andy Williams sing it was when he came to the Johnny Carson show, the Tonight Show, after the funeral for Robert Kennedy. Perhaps some of you remember that as well. And literally the entire audience burst into a standing ovation. There's a heartbeat in the songs that were just expressed. As we come before you this morning, there's a heartbeat in this congregation. Millions of Christians all across our nation have a heart that's beating to see God bring a new day to America. We want to see God bring a new day for America. That's why Call to Fall has been started. This is a picture taken. It wasn't doctored. It was a picture taken of the flag with the sun, of course, shining through. And that is what we need, the Son of God shining through every radiant factor of our life. Would you please stand with me? And we're going to do a few of the pledges. I know you may not be able to see the flags. We do have the American flag over here, but we're going to do it. There is a flag up there. So we put our right hand over our heart. If you're not from this nation, you'll forgive us for celebrating our pledges and our time of celebration and our birthday. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The next one. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. You may be seated. I think it less sin to declare our pledge of allegiance in the nation in which we have such freedom to worship than it is to worry about being chastised by people who don't think that's appropriate. I think it is appropriate for us as Christians to seek the peace of the nation and the cities in which we live. The Bible declares that happy is the people whose God is the Lord. God is our God, and we are thrilled with the freedoms He has granted us to be in this country. Now, I will be the first to admit to you that we have a nation in desperate need of a fresh move of God. And the Bible tells us, no matter what culture we are from, no matter what country, that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'm sure you, along with me, understand every culture, every knee, every background, every language, every people group must bow in their culture. The culture must bow to Jesus Christ as Lord. But we're committed to sharing Him. 240 years ago, our nation was birthed amidst heartbreak and frustration, betrayal, persistent courage in the face of tyranny, and cruel kingship with Britain. But God gave the victory, and we should celebrate. But as we prepare for a new birthday, we want a new day for America. And before that celebration can really begin, we need to examine and come to our knees. We need to repent. We need to pray. We need to seek God. Now, some people believe you don't need to do this. It's not essential. God's already heard our prayer. I think God is not ashamed of a people who come to Him to pray and cry out. I think it's very right for a people to cry out to God for His hands upon us. Let's look in the Scriptures and see what they say. Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim, say it with me please, liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Set at liberty. Liberty. Liberty is God's idea. Someone say amen. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. How many of you know that liberty or freedom without God's Spirit is chaos and anarchy? God intended, and our forefathers, our original leaders in our country, intended us to enjoy the gift of freedom while walking with the gift of morality and consecration to God. Because at that point, the human nature is checked as man walks responsibly in the freedoms God has given. The Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Galatians 5, 1 and 13. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For you, brethren, have been called to, what? Liberty. Only do not use liberty, watch, as an opportunity for the... What do you see when you look around in our nation today? People who desperately need Him, and opportunities given on every hand for the flesh. Don't use liberty in that way, the Bible says, but through love. Serve one another. Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation. Please read this one out loud with me. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen as His own inheritance. Let's talk about liberty and freedom in America. It was 240 years ago. Church bells rang across the land, celebrating the signing of our greatest document outside of the Bible itself, our Declaration of Independence. Our leaders made choice with a willingness to pay the cost, and it was a high price, to pay the cost of their own lives and their sacred honor. Freedom was that important. It's God's birth. The call that had gone up and down the East Coast, you'll find in history, if they haven't redacted it and drawn it out, you'll find in histories from the earliest days, the call up and down the seaboard was, no king, but King Jesus. Say that with me. No king, but King Jesus. Freedom comes only from Him. Today, we've kicked God away on every hand virtually. On every realm of our national life, you don't want to mention God. Somebody might be offended. How about those of us who love God? We're offended when you don't. Yes, right. Amen. Smile. Our liberties erode when we don't realize that when we walk before God, we walk righteously with Him. Our colonies, our resources were tapped, absolutely raped economically. Men of conscience who had no desire to rebel against Britain joined in the call for freedom. Freedom in Webster's dictionary means liberation from slavery or restraint or from the power of another. The word liberty means freedom from physical restraint, freedom from arbitrary or despotic control. The power of what? Choice. The power to be able to make a choice. Declaration of Independence, Philadelphia. Let's trace some of the history. In Philadelphia, June 7th, 1776, the Continental Congress was convened, and Richard Henry Lee of Virginia brought a resolution, resolved, that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown. And this reflected the sentiment in most of the colonies. Some didn't want to go this way, but it reflected the sentiment in most. Then the Second Continental Congress is in, and June 1775, they establish the Continental Congress and the Army. August of 1775, I'm going back to cover some history. August, the royal proclamation came from the King of England that the American subjects were involved in open and avowed rebellion. The English Parliament passed the American Prohibitory Act. American vessels and cargoes were forfeit to the Crown. Whenever they came to them, they'd just take them. January 1776, Thomas Paine's Common Sense, you might have recalled that document and read it in your past, helps colonists to see that independence is not only inevitable but righteous and needful. May 1776, the King of England makes treaties with the Germans to hire mercenaries to fight in America. One by one, the Continental Congress cuts the colonies' ties to Britain. American ports are open to commerce with other nations. May of 1776, 8 colonies declare support for independence. The Lee Resolution presented on June 7, 1776, that I read to you. June 11th of 1776, Congress commissions a committee of 5. You remember the names? John Adams, Roger Sherman, Benjamin Franklin, Robert Livingston, and Thomas Jefferson. And Jefferson does the primary writing. July 1, 1776, Congress reconvenes. July 2, the Lee Resolution for Independence is adopted by 12 of 13 colonies. Congress begins to consider this instrument called the Declaration. There were alterations and revisions going back and forth late into the night of July 3rd and into late morning July 4th, when finally, at last, church bells began to ring out over the city of Philadelphia. The Declaration of Independence is adopted. July 4, 1776. And the Declaration is such. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their, who?
Creator.
By their Creator. With certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But again, it was based on the reality that men and women will recognize the sovereign Creator in their lives. And there was a respect for the Bible, the Word of God, that would call into check men and women's hearts and spirits when they went astray from the Word of God. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies and are of, ought to be, excuse me, of right, ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. I imagine in that room at that moment, the moment it passed, there was a deafening roar of silence as men probably wept and came to their knees, some of whom had hoped this would never have to happen. It was a revolutionary war, going back and forth in history a little bit. 1776, you have weeks after the outbreak of fighting at Lexington and Concord, Congress established, as I mentioned, the Continental Army and named George Washington as the commander-in-chief. There was Saratoga, Yorktown. Our little country has incredible, impossible victories over this massive British soldier and army. France openly declares its support for American independence. They're invaluable. Literally invaluable to our early colonists and to us being established as a nation. We love to give France a bad time nowadays, but we have a lot of gratitude to be held toward France for helping us be established as a nation. For 7 to 8 years, 25,000 Americans died, 25,000 more were wounded, so we could enjoy a free America. But what about a new day for America? What do we need? We've thrust God away from our country, the public arena, the public square. We don't want to talk about the name Jesus too loudly. We don't want the Bible. We wouldn't want anybody feeling badly. But maybe sometimes the guilt, not that we put on people, we love people and speak the truth in love. But sometimes the Word of God brings a guilt inside the heart that brings the right kind of check and conviction so we know how to get right with God. Have you ever had any conviction ever in your heart where you knew you were going to step in the wrong direction and you thank God for the convicting Holy Spirit that keeps you. Yes, 1 John is written for us. If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We have opportunity to be cleansed. But we have a wonderful relationship, as Pastor Sherry prayed, even in the ministry circle or in the time of pre-service prayer. We have, reminding us of Steve Holder's message, remember, the advantage we have as Christians of the Holy Spirit living inside to question or check or guide us. He says you'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Turn neither to the right or to the left. How many in this room, I really do want a show of hands, how many in this room want to walk rightly with God? Amen. Thank God for His Spirit. When we kick Him away from our school, from our economy, we see the result of frustration on every hand, and we need a new day in America. Here's what the Scripture says. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, remember, this scripture was written after the cross of Calvary. Jesus had provided already fully for us and His provision. But this instruction was given to the body of Christ to know how to pray and conduct ourselves in current ongoing prayer for the leadership of our country. It's not wrong. It's right. Giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. He desires what? All men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And then, of course, 2 Chronicles 7, 14 and 15. I want to read it from the New American Standard Translation. And my people, who are called by my name, they'll humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open. My ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. But you see, there's no conflict. Yes, that was Old Testament. But we already have read the instructions to us as Christians from the New to keep in intercession and prayer and supplication before God. Thank God, now in the New Covenant, we've got a God who hears us more than ever. Aren't you glad? The Holy Spirit's inside. He guides us and teaches us and how to pray and guides us. And we've got a God who's right here involved. Turn to each other and say, aren't you glad God's involved with you? Amen. Then look at each other and say, I'm glad He's involved with you. Amen. So recognize the turmoil and trouble of God's hand of judgment in our land. Humble ourselves. Pray and turn from our wicked ways is what the Bible says. And here's why I wanted you to see this. The Continental Congress called for a day of public humiliation, fasting and prayer throughout the colonies on July 20th, 1775. Now watch this. James Warren wrote to Samuel Adams, 3 millions of people on their knees at once, supplicating the aid of heaven, is a striking circumstance and a very singular one in America. May the blessings of heaven follow in answer to our prayers. As we go to God this morning, we don't have to go thinking we serve a God who doesn't hear us. We don't have to go thinking we need to add our works, beating our brow and beating our chest because God's far away and He's, you know, we're deists and God's not involved with man anymore. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God is right here and labors with us. If you ever want an interesting read, read the works of Rhys Howells, who was fantastically used to lead an entire college and a nation of Britain in prayer during World War II. Incredible as God labored with him. And he said this, he said, if we don't labor as hard spiritually in prayer as our soldiers fighting on the front are physically, we don't deserve to have the help of God. He understood God wants to work with us as we see Him birth things. So how do we receive a new day for America? We turn to God with all of our hearts. Humility and brokenness before Him. with a deep cry to see him move again in our country. To find again in our country his face and presence, his mercy, to turn from our sinful ways, to resolve to return to the ways of God. You see scriptures that show us that if we will humble ourselves, sincere teachers who were Christians, who were trying very hard to labor among their students and do all of these things, but this is being forbidden more than ever to be taught. And so it's a difficult thing. So, but it's not too hard for God. You see, that's when we look at this, we want to approach prayer today with a spirit of victory. We wage warfare from victory, for victory, not to try to desperately get victory, to desperately get God to hear us. We know he hears us. And so we have a big job to do, to reach people for Jesus and to labor. So we pray and we work and labor to continue to bring biblical morality and speak the truth in love to folks. A lot of today's generation thinks all we are a bunch of bigots and haters, because all that's been known about Christianity is what we're against. And what we need to be able to also show is what we're for. We're for the love of Jesus. We're for people getting saved, help delivered. We're for unwed mothers' homes. We're for supporting people, feeding the hungry, all those practical things, bringing a food box so people see tangible action from Christians as well. Long answer to your question, but you bet. So would you do me a favor? Do yourself a favor. Those of you who cannot, absolutely not one ounce of condemnation, but those of you who can, I'm going to ask you, keep your eyes up here, but go ahead and kneel before the Lord. I will as well. And we're going to do a responsive prayer time together before the Lord. Can you do that with me? So if you cannot, no shame, no condemnation. If you can, we'll be on our knees as we pray to God for call to fall. And I want you to know you're joining with hundreds of thousands of Christians all across our land right now, this morning, doing exactly this kind of activity. I'll begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we know you are good. Your steadfast love endures forever, and your faithfulness to all generations. Congregation.
We come to you, our Creator, our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. You are God of old and new testament.
Today we unite with Christians across America from many denominations and backgrounds, falling to our knees before you. We choose to come down and we ask you to help us humble ourselves, not only today, but every day.
Hear our prayers, forgive our sins, and heal our land.
We've become a proud and arrogant people and nation. You have blessed us, but we take your blessing for granted.
We may have forgotten you and ignored your word. Forgive us, Lord.
We have forsaken you, the spring of living water. We have chosen to love the world and the things of the world.
And your evil, forgive us, Lord.
Amen. Forgive us, Lord. You call us to be a light, to live holy lives, to walk in Christian love and carry you and your gospel to the nations.
We've been afraid to share your word and love with our neighbors. We've been complacent.
Forgive us, Lord. You command us to bring up our children in your way, but we haven't. Our youth are leaving the faith. Jesus, too often we've been complacent, apathetic, lazy, disobedient, and unfaithful to your call.
You command us to be salt to our families, our culture, to preserve truth and all that is godly and pure.
Forgive us, Lord. Instead of changing the world's changed us. We've failed to be the salt of the earth, to lift you up, to be the light of the world. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. Our forefathers, with love and devotion to their children and to future generations, sacrificed their lives for us. Yet we've become the me generation, Our goal has become self-fulfillment instead of surrender to your plans.
We have our ears to hear the benefits. We have lost sight of living for you, our family, helping our fellow countrymen. You know your love.
Forgive us, Lord. Now, our nation's under judgment. Natural disasters, war, some nations hate us, international terrorists have penetrated our borders. We suffer economic collapse and turmoil. Preachers and politicians are seen for acts of corruption and immorality. Our jails and prisons are filled to overflowing. Our adults and children are enslaved by sin and sex, drugs and alcohol. Forgive us, Lord. Abortion, sexual immorality have become protected rights. Evil is called good. Good is called evil. We've allowed man to define marriage instead of you. For the lust, the division, the murder of our young, Lord, we cry out to you today. Hear our cry. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Lord, heal our land. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us. Revive your churches and our nation, we pray. Set our pulpits aflame with righteousness. Purge compromise from our pews and cause your word to go forth to every part of America.
May your people salt and light again. Raise up godly leaders.
We return wholly to you. Return, Lord, to us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now, by faith, we receive your mercy, your forgiveness, and your new day for America. Amen. I'm going to tell you one more story as we close, and then we'll sing God Bless America together as you stand to your feet. Sometimes we wonder, does it make a difference? I'm one person, what can I accomplish? I want to tell you about what some of you might remember as children having heard about. It was 1940. The British Expeditionary Force found itself absolutely routed. They'd been sent to Europe to aid the French, the Belgians, against the might of the German Nazi army. It's a true story. The mightiest army in the known world at the time was England's army, and it failed. The Germans pursued them, and only a gallant rear guard action allowed most of the British to escape, and they headed on a full-fledged retreat to the coast, to a town called Dunkirk. The small port town, at one time, there were over 400,000 troops, French, British, Belgians, and disaster was their very next breath. Even back into the homeland, all they could do was to prepare themselves to face sudden destruction of their forces. And if that happened, that would mean unconditional surrender to the Nazis. If that happened, remember, it was from England, the launching pad of D-Day. That wouldn't have occurred. Churchill called for a national day of prayer. Over Britain, church bells began to ring as people were called to the house of God, and Christians began to cry out to God in prayer to save the men. Absolutely, miraculously, the word in the story I read was inexplicably, it's unexplainable. Hitler's forces stopped advancing. For 3 days, they stopped advancing. Historians to this day have absolutely no understanding as to why his forces stopped advancing. He would have absolutely crushed England's forces. 400,000 people at a shoreline waiting to be slaughtered. while a country cried out to God. Some say it may have been at the advice of Hitler's astrology. Some say that those who were leading the Air Force in Germany and the soldiers couldn't agree which phase of their army would get the most glory, and so they delayed while they waited to decide who would get the crushing blow. All we know is their advance stopped long enough for the Brits to initiate what is called Operation Dynamo. How many remember the Greek word meaning for dunamis? Dynamite. Power. Pastor Sherry, the phrase goes like this. We win! Right? Operation Dynamo. Dynamo. They believed that they might be able, in this delay, literally, true story, to spare 20 to 50,000 men. The greatest fear they had was that bombing would continue in the harbor, their ships would be sunk, and render the harbor useless for any future Allied attack, and they would lose still most of their soldier. With great desperation, Operation Dynamo swung into action. The German Air Force bombed the soldiers mercilessly on the beaches and the Navy. And of course, ships sunk, the harbor became mostly useless at that particular time, and now really everything seemed lost. Give me a couple minutes more, because it has a miraculous end to the story. How many remember the story of Dunkirk? One last ditch effort, while England was praying, one last desperate effort, a call was sent out to everyone near the English Channel in Britain who had a small boat. They were asked if they had a boat that could manage the crossing. Now, the 22 miles in that crossing was literally treacherous with their weather. But who could cross to save as many as they could? An armada of small boats, fishing vessels, pleasure boats, fishing boats, tug boats, pulling behind them canoes and rowboats, started to cross the waters. And miraculously, while God's people were praying, the waters, historians will even tell you, were strangely calm. The next few days, they managed to take 340,000 men off that beach. Where the might of the British Army had failed. Now listen. Where the might of the British Army had failed, God used an armada of little ships in answer to prayer to save the day. And you say to me, Pastor, I'm only one person. What difference can my prayer make? Your prayer makes a world of difference. And we have joined with hundreds of thousands of believers across our nation in belief that God, from heaven, hears the prayers of His people. I believe God. How about you? Stand with me, will you please? We thank you, Lord. Now raise your hands if you would. I pray your blessing on these precious people who've come here to the house of God. Let them go with hope, with joy, with rejoicing, into a new day for America. And Lord, as we come into the 4th of July, we do it with great celebration, great thanksgiving, even fireworks. Well, all right, we'll watch fireworks. All right, even with celebration time. But Lord, above all, we know the freedom that we celebrate comes only from your hand. We love and worship you in Jesus' name. And all the people said,
amen.
Have a fantastic day in the Lord. Be released.